If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come.
Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free.
Whosoever the sun sets free.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
When I became a believer, it was so alien to me, pun intended, because I did not understand what just happened. First and foremost, I looked at myself in the mirror. It was the same me, same complexion, same height, same facial features. I did not lose weight. I did not add weight. Nothing. I was the same person, but I felt different. I knew I was different. I was obsessed with understanding what had just happened to me because it made no sense. Things that I was struggling with the day before, the very day before, were not there. Desires that I felt were going to live with me. I gave myself at least 40, 45 years to overcome these desires. They were not there. Thought processes that I always had with me were not there too. So I could not correlate what just happened to me. I could not understand it. So I decided to launch an investigation to understand what happened to me. And the closest thing I could relate it with, to understand it well, was that I was an alien. Honestly, the verse you just heard was 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, when a believer is created, when someone becomes a believer, when you believe in Jesus Christ, something fundamental happens to you. It changes a whole lot. You might not understand it. For instance, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked, "How can I, an old man, enter into my mother's womb again?" Nicodemus really got what Jesus Christ was saying, right? Jesus Christ was saying, you cannot play part or be part of what will happen to you when you become a believer, but you know you become a believer. He even went further to say, when you feel the wind, you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going to, but you feel it. Nicodemus said yes. He said, that's how it is with anyone who's born of the Spirit. You don't know how it happened, but you know there's the change that has happened to you. Now, so you spend the rest of your life understanding what has happened to you. That is who a believer is. Like me, I was obsessed. What I pored over the scriptures to understand. For instance, when I became a believer, for those who have not listened to my salvation story, you can check the butterfly effect. It explains everything there. When I felt the power of God flow through me and I was vibrating from the head, crown of my head, the sole of my feet, I burst out in tongues also. Previously, I did not believe, first and foremost, I did not believe anybody falls under the power of the Holy Ghost. I believed that was just pastors hiring actors to do things and whatever. Secondly, I did not believe in speaking in tongues. I was like, all this gibberish nonsense. It's just people just trying to act and say rubbish and stuff. But these two things that I did not believe in actually happened to me while I was on my conversion day, the day I became a believer. Right? So, first and foremost, the power of God picked me up. I was shaking, vibrating like electric shocks from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, wave after wave after wave. But within me, I felt peace and love. No pain. But my body was out of it. And then I burst out into tongues. So I was like, wait, what's happening? What just happened? Going forward, I kept on speaking in tongues. But then I was like, wait, like, what's this new language that has been bestowed on me? Also, things that people were into, I wasn't into anymore. The friends I had that time, things they were into, I wasn't into it anymore. Like, and then strange things started happening. For instance, I would wake up in the middle of the night to to pray, as if somebody had just tapped me, wake up and pray. And I would pray and I would say some things. After I spoke in tongues for a long time, I would say some things and they would happen the way I said them after I prayed. It made no sense to me. I was like, wait, what's happening? What is happening? And then I took a long journey, a long time, to find out through the word of God who I really was. And honestly, I can boldly say that anyone who is born of Christ, anyone who is a believer, is not of this world. You are not of this world. You are alien, honestly. Right? Jesus Christ also said that. He said it in John 17, verse 14 and 16. I'll read. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Verse 16 says, they do not belong to this world any more than I do. So we are not of this world. We are aliens. We do not belong to this world. And I'm saying that to say this, you cannot conform to the patterns of this world. You cannot. Like, there are many things that these people of this world do. There are many things. There are many thought processes they have. For instance, okay, let's go to the easiest one, love. When people are in love, they believe what love is that you give 50-50. It's a reactive kind of thing. If this person makes you feel good, you give them your all. If this person makes you feel bad, you do not give them your all. In that moment, you'd be like, no, I cannot give you my all. Blah, 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 blah. I don't like you. You don't love me. How are you sure you love me? Oh, meanwhile, love is defined in those times where it is tough to love someone. Because this is how Christ loved us. Jesus Christ said, there is no greater act of love than a man to lay down his life for a friend, right? And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. And this greatest act of love, like if you're given a scale of preference of love, the topmost one, that's what Jesus Christ did to us when we were sinners, right? So we did not deserve it. He wasn't feeling good doing it. For us, it wasn't like, oh, I love you, you've done great to me, let me give you this gift. No, if you can remember the Garden of Gethsemane, he actually cried and said he doesn't want to do it. Somebody was. But then he went ahead and did it because of love. So now, we have to now, as aliens who are not of this world, we have to let that idea of love infiltrate our mind. Fine, okay. So now, love is defined in those hard moments. In those times where your friend annoys you. And you're supposed to get angry, that is when you can show that you love the person. In your relationship, in those times where they do something wrong that hurts you, that is where you're supposed to show love to the person. I'm not saying you should go and be showing when the person is cheating on you, being emotionally abusive, physically abusive, you should continue. I'm not saying that. Find somebody who understands this definition of love too and has let it infiltrate their heart. So that when you're loving the person, you're loving the person unconditionally and the person is loving you unconditionally too. So the person is not putting their emotions or their decision processes above you. That is not love. Exactly. So now this is how we are supposed to act. I used to watch X-Files. I loved X-Files. That's why the beginning of this episode has their theme song. And usually, those detectives, when they find an alien or they submit to the scientists normally dissect the aliens, right, and find out how they work. They want to know, okay, how do these aliens work? What do they do? What do they do? The special powers they have, the things they do. How do they do it? How does their internal organs work? Now we have to be those scientists to dissect ourselves. We have to open our hearts, open ourselves to find out who we really are, how we should react. And we do that by studying the word. We do that by being around other Christians and seeing how things happen. Find out how we are to react to scenarios, normal scenarios that humans react to. And we do not adapt to how humans react, how we used to react before. We not say, okay, this is how I did things before, this is how I continue to do things. No, we need to find out for each and every scenario, there's a reaction that your new spirit, your new creation, this alien that has come to live inside you, this alien that you have become, should react to. That is how we find out. When I became a believer, I used my time, found out, like, I believe I spent close to a year. Yeah. Close to a year. And during that period, I was not as social media active because I was busy finding out. I was busy finding out things. Like, I was just dissecting my heart, putting myself on a pretend table. Okay, this is how I'm supposed to react in this scenario. Okay, I will speak it over myself. When that scenario comes and I fail in acting out that way, I will dissect it again and say, okay, I was not supposed to act this way. How was I supposed to act? And then the scenario will come again and I will overcome it and act the way I'm supposed to act based on what the world tells me. We are aliens. We should not react the way the world reacts. We should not see things the way the world sees things. We should not see things also the way the world sees things, because we are not of this world. This thing, as simple as it is one of the fundamental principles for you to be free of any addiction or even depression that you have. Because bad things happen. Jesus Christ, when he was living, he said, in this world, you face many trials and tribulations, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. So, we will face bad things will happen. But, can a Christian be depressed? Yes, a Christian can be depressed. Should a Christian be depressed? Now, that's a different question. That's a different answer. And the answer is no. Because joy is a fruit of our spirits. That alien that we have become, this new species, this new creature that we become, joy is a fruit of our spirit. And that joy is not hinged to anything on this earth. It's not hinged to any circumstance. So even when circumstances are bad, that joy is remaining intact. I've said this before. Paul, who was in a dungeon, locked away, starved, beaten, in darkness, in chains, wrote to people who were free. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. How does that correlate? Paul and Silas, when they went to prison, you have to understand that there hadn't been any record of anybody being in prison and then praising God and the prison doors opening. So they were not doing it to get the prison doors open. They were doing it because of the joy in their spirit, which is the fruit of their spirit. They had been beaten and they were locked in the darkest part of the dungeons. In chains also, and they were praising God and singing to God, right? That is the joy, that is the fruit of the spirit, that is the love. To further prove that they were not praying for the doors to be open, when the doors were open and their chains fell, they did not run away, they kept on praising God. See, when the jailer came and saw what had happened, he almost killed himself. He wanted to kill himself because he was like, they're going to kill me, so there is actually no use for me to be alive. Because normally, the prisoners should have gone. Even the previous prisoners who were there in the dungeon with Paul and Silas, they did not go. They were so entrapped by the joyous sounds that they were making. And they did not go too. So, you as a believer have to find out who you really are on the inside. Who you really are. Who you have been made to become. And subject yourself to those principles, because normal human principles do not apply to us. They do not. I'll be honest, they do not. Now, this principle will help you see how you are to live above sin. It is not a question if you can live above sin. You have been given the Spirit of God, which is able to enable you live above sin. Oh my God, that was a line. Please, if you listen out there, and if you're a record producer or you work with a record label, you can sign me. You can see what I said. Able to enable. That's like a flow. That's like a bar. You understand? I'm a rapper. I'm sorry. Anyway, so I'm saying you have been enabled to live above sin. Listen, guys, there's a part of knowledge and there's a part of acknowledgement. Knowledge, you just see, hear something like, okay, cool, this is it, okay, nice, awesome, and you go your way. No, acknowledgement is hearing it and then knowing, weighing your life in respect to the truth and then trying to conform your life to that truth. That is acknowledgement. When you meet Christ, right, Christ is not going to be like, no, let me get my ahead of myself, though. We'll talk about it later. But I want to read the verse, Romans 12, from verse 1 to 2. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." Now, pause before we continue reading. All he has done for you is to make you a new creature that lives above sin, that lives in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that understands that forgiveness is a possession. Forgiveness does not run out. It's not a subscription plan that you use and then you have to resubscribe. No, it is unlimited. It is your possession, right? Now, you, because God has done this for you, you have to understand it and hold on to it as a truth. Conform your emotions to this truth. Going back to what we're reading. "And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." Right? "He will find it acceptable." I'm pausing again to talk. "He will find it acceptable because this is who he has made you. This is who he has given. This is the new creature he has made you to become." I'll continue reading. This is truly the way to worship him. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." I'll repeat that again. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Now, this transformation into a new person is not different from who you became when you became a believer. No. The Spirit of God came to live inside you the day you became a believer. Right? You became a new creature. Now, that new creature is righteous, is holy, is akin to the things of the Spirit, is alert in the spiritual realm, and all of that. All you do, allowing God to transform you, means giving that Spirit of God access into your mind, access to control your mind and your body. That is it. The Spirit of God within you does not grow. It's not like spiritual growth is allowing that Spirit to grow and mature. No. That Spirit within you is as mature as Christ, is as righteous as Christ, because it's the Spirit of God we get. Now, that Spirit of God as righteous as Christ, you need to allow it influence your mind to make you understand that you are as righteous as Christ, you are as holy as Christ. As Christ died to sin once and is alive to God in righteousness, so you died to sin once and you are alive to God in righteousness, meaning your body has been enabled to live above sin. I'll continue. That is how you allow God to transform you into a new person and change the way you think, right? I'll continue reading. "Then you will learn God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." Another version says you'll be able to approve God's will, the good and perfect will of God. And you'll be able to prove. So our lives are meant to prove God's good and perfect will, because that's who he has made us to become. That's who he has made us to become. If you think about it, we're actually aliens, so guys. Think about it. We have special powers. We can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. And we know this because the Bible says we can do it. We can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. We can know things that haven't been told to us. We can speak things into existence. We are never at a disadvantage because of the Spirit of God within us. For instance, speaking in tongues. That's it. That is a stamp that somebody is a believer. Like, speaking in tongues, think about it, guys. It's a whole different thing. It's a whole different ball game. It's something that the world has never seen before, speaking in tongues. Now, you do not now isolate yourself and say, these people are zealous, people who speak in tongues, people who chase after healing gifts, who want to give healing gifts, people who want, because they are gifts to give. They're not people, we don't have these gifts. They are gifts that we give people. For instance, if somebody is sick and I heal the person, I don't have the healing gift. I give the person the healing gift. What I have, the Spirit of God within me, and I give the gifts, right? If I give word of knowledge, I don't have the gift of word of knowledge. I have the Spirit of God within me that used me to give the gift of word of knowledge to somebody else that benefits somebody else. Exactly. So we don't have to say, well, all these people that think these things are possible and try to do them, I don't have anything against them, but they are zealots. They are hot for Christ. Not hot for Christ. They are ethicals. Do you understand? They are religious ethicals. Their own case is different. Me, I'm among the cool gang. I believe in Christ too, but I'm not going to chase after healings. I'm not going to chase after giving gifts of healing. I'm not going to chase after word of knowledge. I'm not going to speak in tongues. All those things. No. Me, I'm cool. This thing. You're living a lie. Listen, you're not being cool. You're living a lie. You're subjecting yourself to what is not true. I'm going to take it a step further. When you don't live in love with your fellow brethren, when you don't forgive, when you're not patient, when you're not kind, in every scenario, no matter the scenario, even if it is not favorable to you. For instance, somebody does something to you and you're in your right to get angry, impatient, and unkind. Because the fruit of your spirit has those things. Because the fruit of your spirit means the evidence of the Spirit of God indwelling in you. That's what fruit of the Spirit means. The fruit of the Spirit is, it did not say the fruit of the Spirit are the fruits. It said the fruit of the Spirit. So the evidence of the indwelling of the Spirit of God within you. The evidence that you are alien now means that you are patient, you are kind. No matter the situation, irrespective of the situation, you show love. When you don't do that, you are not being yourself truly. When you don't chase after the supernatural life that we have been made to become, you're suppressing your real self. And we can know how suppressing your real self goes. It doesn't go well. You become a shadow of yourself. You become depressed. You become frustrated. Yes, because you're trying to suppress who you really are. It's not humility to say, oh, me, I can't do these things. So I'm not even going to go as far and say I can do these things. No, that's not humility. That's pride. Because God says you are these things. Not that you can do these things. You are these things. The Bible says, they who believe in me will speak in tongues. It did not say they who are the pastors, the evangelists, the ethicals, the spiritual. No, they who believe in me. Whoever believes in me will heal the sick, raise the dead, speak in new languages, will cast out devils. These things are who you have been made to become. See, if you do not understand these things are fundamental. For you to understand them and get them as the truth in your life, you will be able to overcome any addiction you're dealing with. If you can't understand these things, you can't just say, okay, this part of my life, I believe that I can live above sin, but I'm not going to believe that I can speak in tongues. I'm not going to believe that I can heal the sick. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. It's a full entire package. So much so that if you forget, leave aside the fact that you believe that you are trying to overcome sin and all of that. Focus on who you are in Christ. Focus on dissecting yourself and understanding who you are, so it can become acknowledgement, not just knowledge, but acknowledgement. You will see that living above sin is not an issue. It's not an issue. I mean, let's just think about it. Even how we're going to exit from this world, it's alien-esque. When spaceships come to pick the aliens, they hover, like the spaceships are above, and then they just beam a light, and the aliens just rise up. It's the same thing that's going to happen to us when the trumpet sounds. We're going to rise up and immortality will be swallowed up by immortality, corruptible by incorruptible. We're going to change into our true form. This is not my real face. in what's her name, self? What's her name? That small girl that is a comedian on YouTube. But it's not my real face. Anyway, you get what I mean. You get, like, we... Even the way we are going to exit from this world is a testament to the fact. So we need to understand and live in this world, that this world is not our home planet. This is not the final destination. We're on this earth for a purpose. Aliens come to this earth for a definite mission and a definite purpose. Sometimes they might get stuck here in the movies and later on they will leave. But we are here for a purpose and for a mission. And for you to understand this mission, for you to live this mission, you have to confirm who you are in Christ. You have to be sure about it. You have to have confidence about who you are in Christ for you to live above these things. I'll read the verse for you, 1 Peter 2:11. It says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners." Listen to that. He says, "Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, guys, we are not permanent residents on this earth. Stop acting as if you're a permanent resident on this earth. Stop acting like that. For instance, you see how, oh, everybody is doing this thing. Oh, it's normal way. It's normal to do this. No, find out who you are in Christ. Find out who you are in Christ. Oh, it's normal to be moody, to be emotional sometimes. It's normal to get in my feelings sometimes. It's normal to be depressed sometimes. It is not normal. Stop it. It is not normal. Stop it. Your normal is to have joy all the time. I'm not saying circumstances don't come where they can get you down. But to remain down is the problem. You get yourself to the point where those circumstances can come, but then you've trained yourself so much that they don't keep you down. They don't keep you down at all. You live above it all the time, no matter the circumstances that come your way. What will make other people fall, what will make other people commit sin, doesn't make you commit sin, because that's not who you are. You can't say, oh, I'm only human. That is a song. Hey God, I don't like that song at all. I'm only human after all. That song is not, it's a lie. I'm not human. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm not of this world. The principles that normal humans face, they do not apply to me. Guys, this is very important that you get this. Because once you understand this, you cannot start finding out who you really are and live according to that standard. Living against it, you will not feel comfortable living against it. You will not feel comfortable, oh, falling for sin, because you know you have become the creature of God in Christ Jesus. I'll continue reading. Dear friends, 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. He calls them worldly desires. They are not our desires. Guys, they are not our desires. Can a Christian get sick? Emphatically, yes. Should a Christian remain sick? No! I'm not saying there's anything against medicine. Guys, if you're sick, please take drugs and stuff. But don't be comfortable and get always getting your healing from drugs for the rest of your life. There's some medical cases that drugs cannot do anything. Understand that you have the healing power of God within you and it's available for you. We are citizens of heaven. We are not citizens of this earth. So we cannot be subjected to the principles of this earth as a normal human being is. There should be a clear-cut difference between you and a normal human being on every front. On every front. The same thing that sinks normal human beings. You should walk on water because you are born of the Spirit. You are a citizen of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And then, we are eagerly awaiting for him to come. This is what Philippians 3:20 says. I'm just reading Philippians 3:20. It says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. We are eagerly waiting to return to our home planet. So you don't get comfortable in this world. You don't get, okay, this is how things are done in this world. This is how people do things. Okay, so I'll continue. No! You live a life that is separate and different because you are different. Now, people will say, okay, are you trying to tell me I should suppress the sadness I feel? I should push it away. I should not experience it. I should not process things. I'm not saying that. I'm saying who you are does not process sad things. Okay, let me give you an example. Peter was walking on water. Jesus Christ saw Peter walking on water. Mind you, the winds were boisterous. Mind you, these guys were fishermen. So for them to be scared, they were skilled fishermen on the boat. For them to be scared that they were going to die, if you know that things have gotten out of hand, Peter walks on water, sees Jesus Christ, and starts sinking. Jesus Christ lifts him up. What is the first thing Jesus Christ says? He said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He did not say, oh, Peter, I understand. Oh, you were scared. The waves are boisterous. I know this was a new thing for you. I understand with you. This was a new scenario for you. This is a new area for you. You didn't understand it before. So walking on water, you will fail sometimes. No problem. Come back up. I will train you. No. He said, why did you doubt? Oh, you little faith. Guys, when we see Jesus Christ then, we're not going to explain to him, oh, I suffered. I was suffering with this addiction. I'm not putting pressure on anyone. I'm just telling the truth. I saw this addiction, saw that addiction. That's why I couldn't overcome them as much to do much for your kingdom. What? He's not going to say, oh, I understand. No, it's not good to say that. It's not good to be an excuse. You're not even going to give that excuse, Seth, to be honest with you, because you see him and you see how real he was and you kick yourself in the foot. Think, why didn't I do more? This is why we try to live above sin, because we have a mission on this earth. We are on a mission. We are on a mission because this world is going to go kaput. So this is why we're on this earth. We are aliens. We have been put on this earth to save people by infecting them with the virus of the love of Christ so that they too can be transformed to aliens. That is why we have been put on this earth. That is our mission, right? And for us to do this, we have to live above sin. Sin will not allow you to do this thing. If you still have sin in your life, some addictions and stuff, it is possible that it can put you down, make you feel unworthy to preach the gospel to somebody else because you are still going through your own things and stuff. But we're supposed to live above sin in the mind and even physically. So you might still be struggling with some things, but it doesn't stop you from being on the mission for God. If you understand who you are in Christ, the more you understand who you are in Christ, the more you're enabled to live above sin. We are on a mission. This is why we prove what God's perfect will for our lives is by living above sin. Most times, people who are knee deep in sin find it difficult to focus on the mission. We must put this body under subjection, call our thoughts to be in line with Christ's thoughts, with the alien within us, with the alien we have become. This is our reason. Others have come before us, fulfilled their part and gone. We must fulfill our part too. Oh, just to sound like Paul. At the end of my life, I don't sound like Paul. Paul said, I have completed everything. I have given myself completely. And I'm done. Oh, to sound like Paul. Time is going out. Everybody's on a mission. Everybody's on a mission. We started by reading 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now I'll continue reading 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. And he says, and all these gifts, all of this is a gift from God. That is who you are in Christ now. Side note. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is how God made us aliens. He brought us back to himself through Jesus Christ. Right? I'll continue reading. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. This is a task that has been given to us. Changing other people to aliens also is a task that has been given to us. I'll continue. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Pause. I'll go back. No longer counting people's sin against them. Guys, there are so many things for us to understand about who we are. God does not count sin against us once we are in Christ. In fact, to the entire world doesn't count sin against them. Only to those who are in Christ. The provision has been given. Anyone who accepts it in Christ, their sin is not counted against them. Right? Now, he has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. I'll continue reading. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us, and we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. Guys, this is our mission. We are to infect as many humans as possible with the love of God. This is why we still remain on this earth. This is why we have not transformed into our real bodies. Guys, that body is amazing. Hey, God. I read where Jesus Christ, after he rose up from God, after he has been transformed, he was not in the room, but he heard what was happening in the room. When Thomas doubted, he was in the room, but he heard it. And when he came, the Bible says they were gathered together and suddenly Jesus was in their midst. It wasn't that he appeared. Boom! Everybody was like scared. No. They didn't even notice when he appeared because it felt like he was there all the time. He had been there all the time. And then he was there. And then he could walk through walls. And then he could disappear. And he was hovering and leaving them. And then you know what? He ate with them. So in heaven, there's going to be feasting. There's going to be food. I'm happy because I love food. There's going to be feasting, guys. That's the new body. That's our new final transformation. For those who watch Naruto, that's our nine tail. Like, we're going to transform. Do you understand? It's an amazing thing. So we need to spread this gospel. We need to spread this word. This is our mission, to infect other people. This is why we have not changed to that final formation yet. Because it's God's will for everyone to be saved through Christ Jesus. But there's free will of man. And we have to convince. We have to plead with people. We have to talk to people. This is our mission. It might be in different ways. You might not be called to be on the pulpit. You might be called to be on the pulpit. Right? But in every human being, in every Christian, sorry, in every alien, every Christian, anyone born of Christ, you have a mission within you. People do it through singing, through songs. People do it through movies. Ah, there's this movie, this series I watched on YouTube, The Chosen. Guys, if you haven't watched it, please go and watch it. It's free. It's The Chosen on YouTube. They're telling the story of Christ from a different perspective that you've never heard it before. You've never seen it. It's amazing. People can do it through movies. What I just explained, through movies. People do it through books. Francis Rivers writes novels, amazing novels that preach the gospel. Pastor Laju writes amazing novels. Man, Pastor Laju's novels. I love her book so much. Anyway, she's one of my best authors that preach the gospel. So, in any capacity that you have been given, you will find it when you find yourself in Christ. There's something about finding yourself in Christ that just points who you have been made to become. Guys, before I was a believer, I did not have purpose on this earth. I did not have any. I just felt I was useless. Once I found Christ, I found who I really was made to be. And that's what I'm doing now. Guys, every one of us has a mission in our own capacities. We need to continue, push forward to be able to accomplish this mission. When we see Christ, He's not going to ask us, oh, He's not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I understand that you went through this, you're going through this addiction, that's why you could not do your mission. No, He's not going to say that. The provision for you to overcome anything and go towards the mission has been provided for you already in Christ. So you have no excuse. What He's going to ask is, what did you do with what you had, what you have been given? You knew me. What did you do about it? Guys, we're going to be very sad when we see Jesus. The moment we see Him, we can't do anything again about what we are seeing. We can't do anything again about telling Him. We're going to see that He's so real. He had always been there. You're going to wish you could have done more for Him. You could have completed the mission in which you have been kept on this strange planet. You're going to wish that. I'll end by reading Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Brothers and sisters, fellow aliens, God has set before us a race that we should run. There's a mission that is at the very center of God's heart. He doesn't want people to die at the end of this world. So we need to preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. We need to run this race. Like this verse says, it says, let us strip off every weight. These addictions you're having, it might be a weight. Any sin you're having that easily trips you up, it might be a weight. The only way to strip this off is to understand who you are and take it as truth. It is pride to put your truth above God's truth. What God has said, it is pride. Humble yourself and submit to God's opinion about who you are. He knows better. He knows far better than you. His opinion outweighs yours by far. Submit to it, guys. Submit to it. If you're here and you're not a believer, it only takes listening to become a believer. It takes listening and believing in who Christ is, what He has done. What He has done is paid for your sin. He has paid for your sin exponentially. People normally ask, how can one person's sin pay for other people's sin? I'm going to give two scenarios. One, imagine we're in the court of law, right? Against God. God against humanity. And it's you. Now, if I'm a court of law and I have something, maybe let's say evidence that will prove your innocence. Let's say you're on trial, and me myself, I have evidence that will prove your innocence, right? And then they now do a background research on me and find out that the same thing you're on trial for, I'm guilty of. That throws away my testimony, that might free you. And that's the same with every human being. Every human being is on trial before God. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who can save us? You can't save yourself because you are guilty. Guilty as charged. So the judge, who is God, realized this and came in human form. That's what necessitated the virgin birth. What necessitated the virgin birth was that everybody born of Adam, because Adam fell and the sinful nature came inside him. So everybody born of Adam has that sinful nature in them. So what necessitated the virgin birth was so that that sinful nature will not be in God, in Christ, as he came. That's what necessitated the virgin birth, right? The virgin birth. Hey, virgin. Virgin birth. Virgin birth, guys. I'm posh, right? That's what necessitated the virgin birth. So Christ came and stood in our place so he could take the fall for us. So he could vindicate us. So now the wrath and the punishment and the death and the separation from God we are supposed to feel, Christ felt it. And then he rose to righteousness. So anyone who believes in him does not have to face the wrath. Does not have to face the wrath. And his death, I'll give another scenario to explain why his death covers the multitude of sin far beyond everybody that is going to be born on this earth. Everybody knows Steve Jobs, the banker of Apple, iPhones, right? Let's say the most expensive iPhones, the ones that are out there now, most expensive ones. Sorry, I'll take this pause to say shout out, a big shout out to my Apple fans, people listening on Apple Music, sorry, on Apple Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. I love you guys. Everybody else, I love you too. I'm joking. I love everybody. Thank you. Anyway, so Steve Jobs has created Apple, right? The most expensive Apple phones now. And Steve Jobs is in their house. And in another house, directly beside him, is a warehouse containing the most expensive Apple phones. And the two houses catch on fire instantly, the same time. Where will people run to go and save? Who will people want to save first and foremost? You guess right, it's Steve Jobs, because the creator of an object is far greater than the object itself. That's the same thing with us. Our creator, who is God, who came in flesh, is far greater than the created object. So for him to give his life for us, it means far greater than what we are worth. The entire human race, from beginning to end, far greater. So that's why Christ could die for us and for everybody that accepts him. You don't have to go through that death anymore. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. When Cornelius, in Cornelius' house, Paul was preaching, he didn't do altar call, he didn't do anything. The Bible says, as he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them as it did at the first time, and they believed. So it was while he was preaching. Once you mix what I'm saying with faith, you have become an alien. You have become a believer. Start understanding who you are right now. The entirety of my podcast is dedicated to making you understand who you are in Christ. There are messages online. You can check ccimedia.ng or just search celebrationchurch.com. Celebration Church on Google, you see the website. There are messages that are free there. Even on podcast, search Celebration Church and you see the logo. The logo is like an infinity sign. Endless life. Ha! Man, that's another privilege. The greatest privilege of being a believer. Endless life, guys. When Christ comes, time is going to end. As in, you know time. Why I love endless life so much is because time is going to end. Right? Jesus Christ said, I'm with you from now until the end of time. So time is going to end. And we'll live forever. So once time ends, there's no way for us to quantify that it's forever. So it will be normal for us. People feel like, oh, forever will be a very long time, I might get bored. But understand that time is going to end. So you can't quantify if it's forever. So you just be enjoying perpetually. Perpetual enjoyment. Or more. It's an amazing thing to look forward to. Eternity with God. Anyway, back to... That's how brilliant the logo for the Celebration Church is. Anyway. So yeah, you can search that. There are messages there that will tell you who you are in Christ. And help you to see more about who you are. Thank you guys so much for listening. As you can hear, my baby is calling me. My cute daughter. Dawn. Anyway, I love her so much. Thank you guys so much for listening. And remember, who the sun sets free is free indeed.